rock. Here, Bread of Life, Bread of Life Assembly of God in Bullville. The pastor lives in Wurtsboro. I stayed at the Harvest Inn in, don't tell me, Pine Bush. And you started in Circleville. I don't get out much. But you know, I've been hanging with this guy for years. He's been putting up with me. But way back when I worked with Teen Challenge in Syracuse, I'd bring guys out to Circleville, Presbyterian Church, something like that. You would use the building. The service was like at 2 o'clock. You guys, I mean, seriously, this is God. God has done this. Beautiful worship. I gotta give a shout out. There's so many things I can say, and there's so much to want to accomplish in the window that I'm here this morning. How many were here last time when my wife and kids were here? Did you enjoy seeing my wife? I am married. Did you not see my wife? She's hot. God bless me. My wife often reminds me that I married up. I did. She's 11 years younger, and she's doing well. But I brought my family last time. I've got a wonderful wife of almost, well, we just celebrated 16 years in December. And next year will be 17. I was never good with math. And then 18. And then my kids are 12, 10, and 8. And I live in Pittsburgh, from Baltimore, Maryland originally. But I travel, you know. And so I don't always, it's hard to bring them. There's drama, meltdowns, fights. There's blood involved. Somebody gets hurt. And I'm not even talking about my kids. That's my wife and I in the front seat. But we spend a lot of money, which is another issue when they come. But they were here last time, so I trust that you enjoyed meeting them. I trust that you asked them questions and had a little, like, survey of, you know, does he go to church? Does he drink? You know, that kind of, is he really saved? But you know what? This is a joy to be with you. I count it a privilege. And every time I come, it's better and bigger and sharper and nicer. And you, I don't know how much more you can improve. Okay, what time is it? Here's the clock. But I got to tell you, Michael, wow, this dude can play and sing. These guys got it going on. I mean, seriously. I didn't even want to sing because I would have messed it up because it sounds like a studio. These guys are flawless in their worship. But they also have a heart for God, and that's what it's great when you can sound good and also be humble at the same time. Amen. And of course, Eric, phenomenal. I got saved 4 times in Sunday school today. He is sharp. All the things he talked about, I have no idea what he's talking about. I think I slept in that class at Valley Forge. Now it's called Valley Forge University, mind you. Not that anybody cares, but I went to Valley Forge outside of Philadelphia back in the 80s. But, what a family. You guys could go on the road with this, which you won't. But Pastor Bert, exceptional. Exceptional man of God. Exceptional spirit, sense of humor. You like to be around him. I like to be around him. I mean, how many pastors do you like to hang with? Not many. And I like him, and I'm thankful for his friendship. And Mrs. Lillian, she's got her own parking spot. You saw that. I love that. But what a beautiful lady. What a great ministry. What a great family. And it's a thrill. And so give them another hand. There are also many leaders that I've gotten to know, but the one brother that always greets me when I'm here. Where is he? He got me my water today. Damon? Is Damon here? See, Damon's always doing something. Look, see, he's not even here. He's out fixing the toilet or something. I don't know, but he's always on the go. He's left. Maybe he'll come back. Is he here? He's left. Maybe he'll come back later. And when, as soon as he comes in, just explode in applause. He'll be like, what in the world did I win the lottery? I don't know. But the other gentleman that I wanted to express my love to is this brother here. First name again? Jerome. He looks like a model. This guy's got like a flawless appearance, beautiful complexion. My wife reminds me, I got craters so big you can drive a truck through them. See, my wife's got me doing facials and stuff now, but he's got it going on. And he introduced himself once again to me and was very, you got some good leaders. You got good people here. And I want you to know, as someone that comes and goes, I see a lot on the road. I'm in a lot of churches. I meet a lot of people. You've got a good package, good leaders. You've got some mentoring going on. You're stepping up a notch every time I'm here. And I admire you. I respect you. I appreciate all of you and what you're doing. But you know what? It's all about him. Without him, we can do nothing. Without him, we are nothing. It's pretty simple. So he's worthy of all the praise, isn't he? Come on, give the Lord another hand. Well, I'm going to share another song, and then I'm going to introduce a special friend this morning that's with us. You know this one, feel free to sing it if you'd like. Here we go. Who am I that the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name, would care to feel my hurt? Come on. Who am I that the bright and morning star would choose to light the way to my ever-wandering heart? It's not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. It's not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling, and you show me who I am. I am yours. I am yours. Who am I that the eyes that see my sin would look on me with love, watch me rise again? This is my favorite part. Who am I that the voice that calmed the sea would call out through the rain and calm the storm in me? It's not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. It's not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling, and you show me who I am. I am yours. Come on, sing it. Tough, he's good. When you're discouraged, he's good. When you're overwhelmed, he's good. No matter what, he is a good God. Well, if you have your Bibles, Romans chapter 8 and verse 38, we're going to look at the word in just a few minutes. Romans 8 and verse 38. How am I doing on the breathing? Amen. Okay, better. I took my medicine this morning. Romans 8 and verse 38, the title of the message is, You Are Mine for All Time. So jot it down. You are mine for all time. Romans 8, verse 38, you are mine for all time. That's the message title. It's a joy to have with me a friend. Most of the time, if not all the times that I've been here, I've invited my friend Dell to come out and share. And the reason I do that is because he's the real deal. I worked 8 years with drug addicts and alcoholics, folks with life-controlling problems. How many are familiar with Dave Wilkerson, Nikki Cruz, The Cross and the Switchblade, Teen Challenge? What a great ministry. I've had the privilege of working with Teen Challenge. I've met Nikki Cruz and Dave Wilkerson. I've also met Dave Wilkerson's son, who did a wedding in Schenectady with Lou Perez. I was in the wedding. Louisa, Lou's wife, is from Times Square Church. So I've met the Wilkerson family. But what an amazing ministry. I've also met Don Wilkerson and have been a part of the ministry. I actually travel only every other weekend now because I'm on staff at our church. I do all the outreach and the pastoral care. So as soon as I got hired to do outreach, I booked Teen Challenge. I got Teen Challenge coming to our church every summer. From Western PA, the Pittsburgh Teen Challenge comes to Crossway. That's the church I go to. We got them coming. This will be our second summer. We pull out the stops. We buy them all kinds of toiletries and vacuum cleaners and Venetian blinds and towels and mouthwash and socks. I'm a big believer in Teen Challenge. What a great ministry. So this morning we have the privilege of having Dell McMillan and his lovely wife Donna and their kids with us, though they're at the children's church, I would imagine now. But Dell went through the program back in the mid-90s, late 90s, something like that. And he's from Walden and now lives in Middletown. And his lovely wife, they got a beautiful family. And Dell was in the program when I was a staff. And he has still served the Lord. He's been faithful to God. I'm extremely proud of Dell. Because how many know that being a Christian is not easy? Young people, listen to me for a minute. Serving Jesus, going to church, praying, reading your Bible, dying to yourself, saying no to sin, taking up your cross is not easy. And Jesus never said in the book that it would be easy. But he did say he was with you. He did say it was worth it. And he did say you can do all things through Christ. In fact, the Teen Challenge, that's the first scripture they learn, is I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, Philippians 4:13. And you know why that's the first verse? Because whenever a student says, I can't do it, they can do it because the verse says, I can do. Their first scripture memory is Philippians 4:13, which is a good verse to start with because they can do it through Christ. But Dell has done well. He was the manager at McDonald's at the Walden exit off 87. It's the Walden exit, isn't it? Yeah, on the throughway. He was the manager of McDonald's, and then he moved right next door to Moe's. How many like Moe's? Are there any Moe's fans here? Does anybody not know what Moe's is? We will pray for you. Moe's is a Tex-Mex place, just like Chipotle. I love Moe's. My wife and kids love Moe's. When I go to Moe's, I throw the diet out the window. When I go to Moe's, I get 2 home wreckers. That doesn't sound very Christian. It's the largest burrito you've ever seen, and they can barely get it in the foil. I just say, throw everything in there and just wrap it up in Jesus' name. Some of you are looking at me like I'm crazy. I am. But Dell is the manager. He's been very successful. He's very responsible, and he's a good leader. And he's here this morning to give a story, whatever he's wanting to share. Would you give Dell a big hand this morning? Come on, brother.
Amen. God bless you, brother. Well, it sure is an honor to be here, you know, and like Brother Richard had said, many years ago when I entered Teen Challenge, I was a pretty broken guy. I didn't want to live no more. I wanted to commit suicide. But there was a thought that rang in my mind from a pastor a while back had said, why don't you give Jesus your life? He'll change your life. And I did believe in him, but I didn't let him be the Lord of my life. And so the day I was going to commit suicide and died, you know, I, I thought it was, but God had different plans, you know. Thank God I got my beautiful wife now, my children, and many blessings he's blessed me with, and friends. And I came out of that place, and I went to the pastor and talked to him. I said, you know, I'm ready to surrender my life, you know, and I tried everything else. I was on drugs, crack cocaine, doing everything, you know, you can imagine. I was around, like Brother Richard says, I was around the block more than the ice cream man. And I was just broken. But basically what I was broken was because I was hurting inside. I was just, from the abuse that I went through as a child, you know, the mental abuse, the sexual abuse, you name it, I went through it. And I was just wondering why. Why, God, did I have to go through this? You know, if you're real, then I need you to prove that you're real to me and let me know. And so he did, through the events of me wanting to die and commit suicide, going to that pastor, talking to him, and him getting me into Teen Challenge. You know, and really, when I remember Brother Richard picked me up, he came in the van, picked me up, brought me there, and I was really ready to surrender. I wanted to surrender, but I didn't know what all that was about. But I got to the center there. They welcomed me there, you know, got me in there, went and showed me where I was, you know, sleeping and everything, like where we ate and everything else, walked me around. And I felt safe there. But as I began to surrender my life there, I mean, it was really tough because I was coming off the drugs, the alcohol, the cigarettes, you know, all that stuff. And I was surrendering who I used to be to become who I am today in Christ, you know, and that was really struggling. I mean, they were discipling me there. That's what they were doing. They were discipling me, and it was a lot of, like Brother Richard said, we've got to take up our cross daily to follow Jesus. And that wasn't easy, really, because I wanted to live that old guy I wanted to live. You know, but I had a lot of dying too. But, you know, as even Pastor Bert says, you know, God said that he'll never leave you nor forsake you. He wasn't forsaking me. He wasn't leaving me being there because he knew my heart was ready to receive what he had for me. So I began, there's many days that I cried out there. I said, God, I need you, you know. And there's times when I just wanted to leave because I thought God wasn't there. But he was there all the time. I didn't feel him, the tangible God, where are you? But he was there. But he was there through Brother Richard, through all the staff there teaching me and training me to become a disciple of Christ. So I remember one day in January, and it was really, I was like, I'm done. I'm sick of this place. I can't stand people telling me what to do, when to do it, how to do it. That old man rising up, wanting to live, which got nowhere. And I was like, I'm tired of it. We went out for a ride somewhere and came back to the center, and I was like, I'm tired. Brother Richard called me to the office because I had an argument with a brother on the van, and he says, you know, I want to see you in my office when I get back. And I said, nah. I said, I'm to myself, I was like, I'm out of here. I'm sick of this place. You know, I didn't want to listen to the counsel that he wanted to give me. But he knew that I wasn't ready. He knew that I wasn't ready to graduate that first phase of the program, because I was still in the flesh. I was miserable. I wasn't ready to go. And he told me, he says, you know, brother, you're not going to graduate, you know, this first phase. And I was like, you know, I'm tired. I'm sick. I went downstairs, went to bed, and that's the night I cried out. And I think that was the night when I cried out. I really cried out. I said, God, I'm sick of this place. I said, you haven't helped me, you know. And he heard me. Because the next day is when I had a deliverance, on January 21st of 1996. And that day, I really believe my eyes were opened up that day when God heard that cry and delivered me from whatever it was, the stubborn spirit that was in me. And from that day, you know, the journey, just I was like excited really about being there. You know, I mean, it was like I went from that valley to that mountain, like, yeah, I want to be here. But then sometimes went back down in that valley again because it was growing, you know. And they say it's in the valleys where you grow. And I was in that valley quite a few times. You know, even today sometimes I get in the valley, but I love being on a mountaintop. But I did finally, I graduated that first phase of the program of Teen Challenge, went to the second phase, got to the God's Mountain, they call down to Pennsylvania. And it began they began to disciple me there. We worked 1 week. We studied the Word of God there to grow in Christ. And, again, I still struggled there because I really didn't want to be there. I was like, they had me doing all this work and stuff like that. I'm like, what am I doing this work for, you know? God said, well, you're doing it for me. Look at the work I've done for you. I sent my son to die on the cross for you, you know. And look at that work, you know. I said, all right, Lord, all right, okay, I understand now. So, again, it was, you know, learning and growing there, becoming the man who I need to be, you know. And finally graduated that program. I moved to, Walden at the time. And I got a job working at McDonald's, and I've been there for the last 20 years, you know, 15 years at McDonald's, 5 years at Moe's, and really, I mean, God, he changed my life, and he's still changing it today. And I see this sign here. It says, I am the bread of life, and that is, Jesus is the bread of life. Dell's not the bread of life, but Jesus is the bread of life, and that's what we feed upon. I remember him even telling Peter, you know, he said, I love you, you know I love you, Lord, but he said, well, go feed my sheep. Go feed them, right? So, I mean, that's my desire today is to feed his sheep. You know, feed myself through the word of God, you know, and then to feed others so that they too can be nourished and grow up into the man that or woman that God wants them to be. And I thank God for Teen Challenge. It's an awesome program. I thank God for each one of you here that support this ministry here. And it's great. Pastor Bert, man, you got some awesome people here. Thank you for shepherding them, giving them the word of God. God bless you all, right?
Teen Challenge is not the answer. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer for the world today. He always has been, he always will be. That'll never change. No matter what social media, no matter what kind of gadget or trinket, even if you have your own selfie, you know what a selfie is? You can buy them at Five Below. That's one of my favorite stores. I won't get there, but Jesus is still the answer. Amen. Romans 8 and verse 38, you can roll that last CD. And then I just want to share a few thoughts with you this morning, and then we're going to have some time at the altar. Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature, all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, he was here. You were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth. Crucified, laid behind a stone, you live to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall, thought of me above all. Come on, sing it. Above all power, above all kings, think about it. Above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, you sing. Above all. Above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth. He was crucified. Thank you. seated. Father, thank you that we can come to church. Not just to hang out, not just to exchange business cards, not just to hang out because there's nothing better to do. But Lord, we're in church because we love you. We adore you. It's all about you. We're celebrating who you are today. We are made by you, for you, to glorify you and serve you and to spend eternity one day with you. That you are, in fact, the bread of life. We give you praise and we give you thanks. Bless your word. Touch our hearts. Touch everybody that's here. Bless those who couldn't make it. And we know that you are in control. We declare that you are good. We bless you today and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Am I doing okay on my breathing? I've been working on my breathing. Somebody recently asked this question, not to me, but I heard the question asked. Do you have to go to church to be a Christian? The answer is no. You don't have to go to church to be a Christian. But the gentleman finished the statement by saying, you can also be married, never go home. So the reason that you're here this morning is to grow. You are mine for all time. That's the sermon title. In Romans 8 and verse 38, just want to share a few thoughts with you. This is my yellow hanky from Panama. I went to Panama back in November with my family. And, you know, they treat you pretty good in these other places. Give me some colored hankies or colored, yeah. What is this called? A towel. Morse cloth. If my wife was here, she'd say, Richard, it doesn't matter. Move on. Nobody cares. But she's not here, is she? Hallelujah. No, just kidding. No, my wife's awesome. I love my wife more now than when I met her. And she is more beautiful than when I met her. I am not those things to her, though, because I'm a piece of work. My wife, like I said, she's buying these facial things. And my face looks beet red when I'm done. I got scrubbers. And just she's got these facials and these different creams. And my face is on fire. She's trying to make me look better. She's trying to help me. But I don't care because I'm married. When you're married, it doesn't matter anymore, does it? Anyway, but my wife says, don't you want me to look good for you? And the answer is yes. And she says, well, I want you to look good for me. And I say, I'm sorry. For better, for worse, for richer, for poorer. Anyway. But you are mine for all time. How many believe that? We are his for all time. No doubt about it. And the Bible says in Romans 8:38, I love it. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. If not, jot it down. Look at it later. If you've got your tablets and your little gadgets and trinkets and knickknacks and whatever you're used to using, you can punch it in or scroll it and all. I don't know anything about that stuff. Scrolling, punching, expand, you know. I still have a physical Bible that I can't read anymore because my wife has yet to get me a larger print NIV. So I have everything blown up on my notes. But you are mine for all time. Romans 8:38, I love it. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. Stop there, all eyeballs here. Nothing, nobody, no one can ever separate you from his love. Now, there are things that can separate you from him, and we're going to get to that. But no matter what you do, no matter what you say, no matter what you think, no matter how you act, no matter where you live, no matter how you conduct yourself, good, bad, and ugly, God will always love you. He doesn't love your behavior. He doesn't love the sin, but he loves the sinner. I tell my kids I love them, but in the same breath, I want to kill them. And sometimes God's certainly not happy with our conduct, but yet he loves us no matter what. So again, for I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height or depth or anything else in all creation. In other words, whatever you can think of that you can throw in there that could separate you from his love, it cannot and will not. Look at the comparisons up and down and all around. Height, death, angels, demons, present, future. All the creation, nothing can separate you from his love. Things happen. Things come and go. Stuff takes place. We don't feel good. We're not doing well. The devil may even do a number on us. That's his job, to kill, steal, and destroy. Life has problems, we go through struggles, but nothing can ever separate us from his love. Sins, addictions, headaches, heartaches, family, finances, in-laws, outlaws, I got to throw that in. Nothing can ever separate you from his love. But as I mentioned a moment ago, make no mistake about it, there are things that can separate us from God. Sin separates us from him. Our decisions and our free will, as we learned this morning in Sunday school so elegantly, roadblocks can be caused as a result of our decisions and our walk with God. Our relationship with God is hindered and affected. But his love never changes. We will always be loved by him. When I worked with Teen Challenge, I had a little apartment hooked under the dorm. I did intake, taught the Bible, did counseling, took them to church, took them to the park, took them to the mall, got out their petty cash from the safe. And in fact, that's how I started coming here, was when I would bring 15 guys in the big old Teen Challenge van and we would come out here. I didn't know you then, but we used to come out here in Circleville and do a service at 2. But I used to have a poster. It said, "Does God seem far away? Guess who moved?" See, God doesn't leave you. God doesn't stop pursuing you and caring about you and loving you. But yet we can choose to not follow him and serve him. But his love remains the same. He'll never stop loving you. He's crazy about you. Does God have favorites? You bet he does. You're all his favorite. May I remind you this morning that God will take care of you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He gave his life for you, so guess what? When we feel anxious, when we feel worried, when we feel discouraged, remember that God is good and God, in fact, does love you and me. See, this is a book of promises, but it's also a love letter. Remember when you were younger and you got love letters, did you speed read them? No, you cherished them. They were under lock and key. It was serious business. This is the book of promises, but it's also a love letter to you. I want you to know this morning that God loves you. He died for you. He cares about you. He forgives you. And you know what? He's with you. You know, I never met my dad. My mother died of lupus in 1996. My mother was only 48. My mother was 48. I'll be 51 in April. My mother was 48 in 1996, died of lupus. I never met my dad. I've never seen a picture. I don't know where he lives. I don't know if he's alive. I don't know if he's a Christian. It's kind of hard to miss what you've never had. Maybe some of you have never had a dad as well, but maybe some of you have had a mom or a dad and they're not with you any longer because they've taken off and you kind of wish you never met them to begin with. So there's a lot of different scenarios there, trust me. But my point is this, I don't have a dad. Now I can cry about it. I can suck my thumb. Because there are people that do this. They just live in the drama, the violins playing. I didn't have this. Nobody hugged me. Nobody took me to get a dilly bar at Dairy Queen. I never had a dad. But the Bible says, he's the gate, the door, the Alpha and the Omega. He's the way, truth, and life. He's the Prince of Peace. He's our Lord and Savior, the King of Kings. And he is the everlasting Father. Why am I saying all this? I'll tell you why. I have people that say to me, "Wow, how did you become such a good dad? I got 3 kids and a wife and a dog named Sydney, a lab from Lancaster. She's got ADHD and she's not saved." And man, oh man, do labs shed. We have hair, just hair floating. Just there's hair. You see the light coming through in the windows. There's just hair everywhere. We just had people over on Friday night for pizza, our pizza nights on Fridays, and we had some people over. There's just hair everywhere. You can vacuum our house with the shop vac and everything, and it's all filled with hair. It's like, where does this come from? It's from that dog. And labs have just little short hair. It's not like they're crazy looking, but there is hair everywhere for the love of God. So people say to me, "Wow, how did you become such a good dad?" And first of all, I'm not a good dad. I'm a dad under construction. I'm a dad that's learning. How did you become, how do you know how to do this? If you've never had a dad, how do you know? I'll tell you how. This is our manual. This is our GPS. This is our roadmap. This is our construction guide. Yeah, that's it right there. He's a father to the fatherless and a defender of the widow. God's helping us. You know, many problems vanish in the light of his love. And I want you to be encouraged this morning. We need to realize that we're never alone. He's with us always. Problems are there, but they become secondary to knowing him and rejoicing in the relationship that we have with him. And I've come to realize you can either practice the presence of your problems or practice his presence. See, everything's about atmosphere. And so when you praise God and you declare his word and you walk by faith and come to church, you get into his word, you fellowship with believers, you lift your hands up, you create an atmosphere. You can practice your problems or you can practice his presence. There are lots of people that always have problems, and they're the type of people that think that they have more problems than everybody else. You don't have more problems than other people. You just think about it more and talk about it more, and you're just kind of swimming in it. We have to acknowledge him and glorify him and realize that he loves us. He'll never leave us nor forsake us, height or depth or angels or demons. Nothing will be able to separate us from his love. Exodus chapter 33 and verse 14. How am I doing on the breathing? Exodus 33, 14 says, the Lord replied, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Anybody like to take a nap? I love naps. I mean, I could take a nap right here. I mean, give me a few minutes, and I could go to bed right here with that light shining right in my face. That's one of my ministries, sleeping. I can sleep at your house. I don't need to know you. Just tell me where to go, and I will go to bed. I don't need to know anything about you or what's in the refrigerator or what time we're leaving. Just, I'll go to bed. I can sleep. I take it serious. Isn't it true that our world does not know how to rest? We can't rest emotionally. We can't rest spiritually. Jesus told us to obey the Sabbath. The whole idea behind that, and that's another message for another day. God doesn't need to rest, but he wants us to rest. But understand something, he gives us rest when we realize that he's with us and we trust in him and we glorify him and we enjoy his presence. His presence will go with you and I will give you rest. Keep your eyes on him this morning. Stay close to him today. Thank him for his love. Trust him. Call on him. His love endures. Nothing and nobody and no nothing can ever separate you from his love. You know, people say that life is unfair. You've looked at things that have gone on. I've gone through things and many stories that have come your way. You say life isn't fair. And the reality is, that's probably true. But I want you to understand something. The greatest thing that wasn't unfair is the fact that Jesus went to the cross. He knew no sin. He committed no sin. And he became sin and took your place. That wasn't fair either. And they said, I love you this much. And he laid his arms out and died for you. That wasn't fair. John 15, 13 says, greater love has no man, no one than this, than one lay down one's life. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Aren't you thankful he gave his life for you? Did you watch the Super Bowl? Yeah. Boring. I'm amazed at how many people love the Super Bowl just because it involves food. Are you going to the Super Bowl party? I'm there. There are people watching it. They don't even know what they're watching. They're just eating chicken wings and chips and dip. People take it serious. Who's got the biggest TV? Which we don't, but we had people at our house. The dog's eating everything, falling on the floor. It was a great, hair's flying. It was not that much of a Super Bowl. Cam Newton was shut down. Peyton Manning, I'm glad he won, but I was kind of going for Carolina just because of the fact that Cam Newton seems like a cool dude, grew up in a Christian home. His dad's a strong believer, kind of militant. I saw the bio, saw the thing on TV about it. But a lot of turnovers, not a whole lot going on. Cam Newton was shut down. You know, Peyton Manning got up there and said he wants to thank his kids and get some beers and glorify the big guy upstairs, which was kind of confusing. It's okay. We won't go there. But my point is this. There were analysts that talked about the Super Bowl. And basically what they said before the game was both teams are good. Both teams have the ability to win. It's a matter of who makes the mistakes and who doesn't. I got news for you this morning. Because of Jesus and what he did on the cross, Even though you and I make mistakes, we still go home with a W. That means a win. Because of what Jesus did for me and you, it's not a matter of what we've done and not done. It's the fact that God loves you no matter what. I was in Pontiac, Michigan, near Detroit, about 2 months ago, and the pastor over lunch shared a story of how he had a young girl who came back to God after 10 years of abuse. Her dad abused her, and she was involved in drugs. She came back to God, came back to the church, and she wanted to be water baptized. So the pastor arranged for a water baptism service with her and some others. But she also requested that she could put a picture on a white shirt with a marker of a broken heart. She put a broken heart, drew it on a white shirt, and asked the pastor if he could allow her to wear that. And he said, sure, no problem. And so she also requested that when she goes under, that she can stay there for just, you know, 30 seconds, 40 seconds. Because her goal was that when she came back up, the shirt would be washed from the broken heart. And it happened. There's nothing magical about water baptism in the sense of the water, whether it's a lake, a stream, you're sprinkled. But it's the whole idea that you're going under as the old, you're coming out as the new. It's a public testimony of an inward change. It's an outward expression. That's why you need witnesses. But I'm thankful this morning that he came to help you with your broken heart and your dysfunction. He loves you, not your behavior, not your sin. And we're going to get to that in a minute. But I want you to know this morning, his love, you can never separate yourself from. You know, we just celebrated Valentine's Day, and I can't stand the "he went to Jared's" commercial. He went to Jared's. See, I go to the Dollar Tree. I go to the Dollar General or Five Below or Walmart. Those are my four top stores. Walmart, Five Below, Dollar General, Dollar Tree is the top. There's nothing like it. I'm amazed every time I go into them that everything's a dollar, that you can actually leave with a whole bunch of stuff and still have money left. See, my mother-in-law goes to Kohl's or the Bon-Ton or Macy's or Ross. She's in all these stores, and she'll spend $30 for one thing. Why do that when you can go to the Dollar Tree and buy 30 things for $30? I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, years ago, I went to the Dollar Tree. I don't do it anymore, but I used to go there for our anniversaries, and I almost lost my wife over it. Because I still don't understand it, but I've moved on. But you can go to the Dollar Tree for anybody's birthday or your anniversary. You can buy the gift bag and the tissue. You can buy a plunger, a bungee cord, a toothbrush, a candle, a coffee cup, dishes, some socks, glue. I mean, it's unbelievable. Anyway, but I know years ago I went to Jared's. I went. The commercial got to me, and I said, I'm going. So I went to Jared's. That place is so high-end, it's unbelievable. So when I went into Jared's, the first thing I found out when I went in there is there's a guy standing there, and he's packing. And he lets you know he's ready to go. So I walked in because I said to myself, I love my wife. I'm going to go to Jared's. I've learned a lot since then. So I said, what do you have here that's under $100? Show me the $100 and less section. There was about four things in a little cabinet. And I got my wife a bracelet. He went to Jared's. He went to Jared's. He went to Jared's. He went to Jared's. You've seen the commercial. He went to Jared's. All right, already. I'm thankful that he went to the cross. He went to the cross for you. He went to the cross for me. And because of that, this morning, we're loved. Can you say amen? My kids are involved with Upward. You're familiar with Upward. I know you are. Dell's family, Upward. How many of you have heard of Upward? It's a Christian-based program. We love it. My kids are involved in basketball. They have volleyball, flag football. I've done the devotions for it. In fact, have you ever heard of the band About a Mile? Who knows who About a Mile? They're a well-known group? No, okay, they just did the devotion. They're really well-known, but nobody has ever heard of them. Don't you love that? They're extremely popular. No, nobody knows? Okay. But anyway, I love watching my kids play. And I'm amazed at how parents are wired to just go nuts when your kids are out there. In fact, yesterday, because what they do is they take the big, because there's, you know, I got a 10, a 12-year-old, she plays the full court, but the 10 and the 8-year-old do a half court. So they take the full court and make two halves with the scoreboard and all the things. And so my wife, I'm over here, and she's over there, and we're right next to each other. Okay, Grant. Okay, Brady. Way to go, Brady. We're watching two games at the same time. Pretty cool. But can I tell you something? When my kids are out there playing, I go ballistic. You think I'm embarrassing? You think I'm crazy now? You should see me out there with my kids. You are awesome. Way to go. Kick them, bite them. No, I'm just kidding. But you know what? God wired us to have such love. I never knew I could love somebody so much. I mean, I love my wife, but when my kids came in, and then you got grandkids, there's a love that you have that's unbelievable. I've never known anything like having my love for my kids and my family. They mean everything to me. I can't breathe without the thought of my family being a part of who I am. But I want you to know God takes delight in you, and God loves you. God's got a big old wallet with your picture in it, if you will. I read this during a rehearsal of a family wedding. They were, you know, rehearsing the wedding, and the bride and groom, as they faced each other in the front with the pastor, somebody took a picture. Of course, you know, that's normal to happen. And later on that afternoon or that evening after the rehearsal, on a Friday night, they looked at the photograph, and they actually noticed that a cross had illuminated. From the church, there was a metal cross. It kind of illuminated over their heads as the couple were standing there, the bride and the groom with the pastor. And what was interesting was they were so blessed in realizing the tremendous picture of Christ and the church, because we're dealing with him being the bride coming back, or him being the groom coming back for the bride, that you and me. And I want you to know this morning that he loves you. And I want you to know this morning that he cares about you. And I want you to know that he has a purpose and a plan. As I close out this morning, I recently ran across an old witnessing track. I've got all kinds of materials and things that I still use paper. Other people have stuff on the computer, and they Google and they YouTube, and my pastor does all that. I still have stacks of papers, and I go through things and read stuff. And I came across an old track, and it was entitled, Three Reasons Why You Need Jesus. And I close this morning with this. Three reasons why you need Jesus. Number one, because you have a past. You have a past. And you can't go back and change that past. But he can. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:3 that Christ is the same today, or yesterday, today, and forever. He can walk through those places of sin and failure and wipe away the slate and make it clean and give you a new beginning. That he can do that for you. You've got a record. I've got a record. You've got a history. I have a history. That's why we need him. We can't go back, but he can. I do Royal Rangers. You got Royal Rangers here? Oh, yeah. Got a Pima Derby coming up June 4th. Guest speaker, three judges, food. You got to have food. You can't have anything without food. We have a Pima Derby where you get the track. You built the car. Four slab of wood, four axles and tires. You know this. But there's one of our commanders. I do Rangers every Wednesday, Commander Ben Allison. He's 26. He has Down syndrome. I love him. Him and I get together often. We go have coffee. But he's one of the commanders, and he helps me out on Wednesdays. He wants to get a time machine. He wants to get a time machine so we can go back in time to when him and his parents had their first date. You know, we can't go back in time, but God can. And he washes our sins away. Secondly, we need Jesus because we need a friend. You see, Jesus knows the worst about you, and yet he believes the best about you. Why? Because he looks at you not as you are, but what you can be when he gets through with you. Proverbs 18:24 says, a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there's a friend that's closer than a brother. What difference does it make if you're super popular and you have lots of friends and everybody loves you, but yet you don't know Jesus, the ultimate friend? You also have to define what a friend is. And that's another issue for another day. And then thirdly, not only do we need Jesus because we have a past, number two, because we need a friend, but number three, because he holds the future. God is the only one you can trust in. He's the only one that you can trust. Have you not been disappointed with Bill Cosby? Mr. Jello. Dr. Huxtable. How can it be? The sweaters on the Cosby Show, the sense of humor, his wit. As my wife would say, he's a hot mess. My wife will say that about herself sometimes, that I'm a hot mess to herself. But Bill Cosby's a hot mess. He just got out recently on $1 million bail. What a sad story. You know he's legally blind? Bill Cosby can't see anymore. Have you seen him? They're taking him to the courthouse and he can't see. But I got news for you. Bill Cosby was blind long before he couldn't see. Because the Bible says that the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they can't see the light. Why am I saying this about him? I'll tell you why. He was very, you would have thought you could have trusted in him. But I got news for you. You can't trust in anybody but Christ. That's why we need him. And because of him, we're safe and secure. Jeremiah 29 verse 11 says, "For I have plans for you, declares the Lord, plans not to hurt you or harm you, but plans to give you a hope and a future." Have you been watching the elections? It's crazy. A president's not going to change our world. A personality's not going to do it. We need God. Back in our homes, back in our schools, back in our hearts, back in our lives, back in our agenda and our plans and all of it. I want you to know this morning, nothing can separate you from his love. Stay close to him. He died so that you could live. Would you stand? We just started a jail ministry at our church. Every week we do something. I developed these programs. On the first Thursday of the month, we go to the Lighthouse, which is a food bank. We have people from our church that go out there and help get groceries into people's car. We pray for people. We also help to serve. On the other side, there's also a hot meal. So on the first Thursday, we call it, it's the Lighthouse Foundation. It's a food bank. The second Thursday, we go to Sunnyview, which is the nursing home. And they love me over there. They say I can preach good and I'm handsome and I sing. But most of them are deaf and blind. That's a joke. I'm a big hit. The third Tuesday, we do another nursing home at Penmar. It's called Prayer and Charity Penmar. Same idea. And I love to do these things. But we just started a ministry on the fourth Tuesday of every month. We go to the local jail. It's the prison. We go to the prison. They call it a prison, but it's really a jail. But I don't understand why the terms are the way they are, but it's called a prison. And I met with the inmates. I've been meeting with them. This is our third month. I love going to the prison because it's powerful stuff. But you know what I realize? The only difference between me and those guys is the decisions they made. God doesn't love them any worse. God doesn't love me any more. And when I go there, every time I say, look, guys, because I'm there from 6 to 9. We have a group that comes in 6 to 9 to go to 3 different pods, which are 3 different levels, and we just do the same type of thing. I share, other guys share. But we lay it on the table. We say, look, we're here tonight to tell you we love you, we care about you, we want to pray for you. We're going to share the word. We want you to hear our hearts. We want to hear your hearts. We want to pray with you, and we're done. It's an hour. And then we go to another place. But the last time I was in the prison, I told him this. I said, you know what? You guys are in here, but yet you are more free than people that are on the outside. Because there are a lot of us that are in prison to stuff. And this morning, as we're talking about God's love, I want you to come this morning because I want to pray for you because some of you need his touch. And I'm going to go through some things quickly. Some of you are discouraged. Some of you have lost a loved one. Some of you are lonely. There are people that battle with depression, that are hurt, that feel hopeless. Fear is a big factor, and anxiety, guilt. I want you to know he loves you, and he can touch you, and he can help you this morning. There are some of you this morning that are dealing with addictions. Some of you that are going through marital problems. My wife's, one of her best friends, Heather, that she works at the VA with. My wife just told me that Heather's sister, after 13, 14 years of marriage, 2 kids, they're getting a divorce. Very sad. They're not a Christian family, but man, oh man, divorce is rampant everywhere. In the church, out of the church. Some of you have some health issues and some news that is not very good, if you will. Some of you need a job. Somebody here needs peace. Some of you have some struggles with sin, or you've got some regrets. Some of you need forgiveness. Some of you have gone away from God. Some of you young people. I want you to know God loves you, man. High five right there. He loves you. He cares about you. He has a plan. Look at the size of this dude. How tall are you? I look up to you, man. If our worship team would come, we're going to close. And you can jet out of here. There is a table in the back. Check out some stuff, my family pictures. Some of you have some habits. Some of you have an attitude that needs to change. Now watch this. Nothing will separate you from his love, but there are things that can separate you from him, and that's your call. In fact, this morning we were learning about free will. But see, I want you to know something. It's God's love that saves you. It's God's love that forgives you. It's God's love that helps you. It's God's help that love that keeps you. It's God's love that finds you. It's God's love that brings you back to him. And you know what it is? Remember this one. Ultimately, it's God's love that convicts you. See, the Bible says in Romans, it's God's love that draws you to repentance. Can I tell you that God was loving you before you ever loved him? God knew you before you knew him. God cared about you before you ever cared about him. And you may be here this morning and you've kicked God to the curb. You're here this morning, but you're not serving him. You're not following him. You're not reading his word. You're not regular to church. You're not plugged in and being a part of the family here at Bread of Life in Bullville. You know God has more for you. God's called you. God's anointed you. God's challenged you. I'm trying to grow in my walk with God. My wife, I'm so proud of my wife. She is pressing in. In fact, she leaves Tuesday for Mexico. I got my three kids for a whole week. Pray for me, please. But I'm very proud of Jennifer. She's pressed in, man. She prays more than I ever prayed. She's into it. And I confess that to you. My wife prays. She's intense. She's into the radical preacher. She's into the people that want more. They just will sell everything and just go. She's right there. She's ready to just get rid of all the stuff. I mean, no stuff doesn't change anybody. We got too much stuff. She wants God. So do you want more? Do you want him? Some of you have some issues, some struggles, some concerns, some prayer requests. I want you to come in a minute. We're going to pray for people. Pray for you. Pray for your kids. Some of you have decisions. Some of you are overwhelmed. Some of you just don't know what to do, where to go, what to say, what to do next. It's okay. Take a breath. Know he loves you. He will steer you. He will lead you. He will guide you. He will take care of you. How many believe it? Father, this morning we give you our hearts. We give you our families, our lives, our future, our ministries, our relationships. We give you our job and our health. We pray for peace and rest and comfort. We confess our sins. We ask you to forgive us for our habits and attitudes. And may we today make a change. Touch the young people. There's so much that's going on in the world that we live in. May they know you're with them. And no matter what has gone on and whether or not we think the world's changed, really, there's nothing new under the sun, really. We're still rebellious. We still need God. We still need to obey authority. We still need to do the right thing. And we know that you're with us and that your love will never change. That will always be true. I pray you would bless those that are here. Touch those who need a touch. We thank you for it. And everybody said amen.